The Steve Gruber Show, American Values with Midwestern Common Sense.
All right. Welcome back to it, 45 after. One of the most sanctimonious companies out there when it comes to GMOs and such, and free range this and that, of course, is Chipotle, the sanctimonious company. Of course, they've poisoned hundreds of people with bad food over the last couple of years. Hundreds sickened by botulism and salmonella. This is, you know, common foodborne illness they couldn't even deal with. But Chipotle, you know, said they were going to go GMO free here not that long ago. Forced to add disclaimers now to all of its GMO stuff because the meat and cheese in its burritos and bowls most likely come from cows and pigs that ate genetically modified feed. In fact, it's almost for certain. Furthermore, they couldn't find enough pork and beef to fill their free-range grass-fed nonsense either. They're sanctimonious, but they're also hypocrites. They have 1,900 restaurants complaining about restaurants. Whole Foods similarly explains on its website that about 88% of corn grown in the U.S. is genetically modified, they say. 95% of sugar beets, 93% of canola, 94% of soybeans. So even the sanctimonious folks at Whole Food realize that this whole nonsense about GMOs is ridiculous. And let me ask you something. We're on the line with Darren Baxt here from the Heritage Foundation. Let me ask you this, Darren. Do you think it really matters to a kid in sub-Saharan Africa if he's eating a bowl of rice and beans or whatever? Does he care if it's a GMO, or is he just happy there's food in his bowl?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say he's happy with the food in the bowl. And yeah. I think that kind of gets lost on people that, you know, in this attack on GMOs.
Well, I always appreciate self-serving liberals traveling coast to coast in Lear jets complaining about global warming and eating at fancy restaurants while talking about the plight of the poor and eating their steak while decrying, you know, large farms, and then, you know, covering it up with rice pudding at the end that is a genetically modified organism while decrying it all. Limousine liberals are an amusing group, are they not?
In a way, the sad thing is this kind of movement is, you know, kind of disregards, it's likely to drive up prices here domestically for food.
No, it certainly will.
Hurt the poor. Yeah, that'll hurt the poor. You know, the poor have a disproportionate amount of their income goes to food, so it hurts them more. And then, you know, genetic engineering shows so much promise for so many different things and to help feed the world. That's really one of the biggest reasons why I'm so concerned about this issue, is because to the extent that we undermine genetic engineering, we undermine our ability to feed the world. And that's a real serious concern. And, you know, there are entire industries, like in Hawaii, for example, the rainbow papaya. The whole papaya industry was about to fall apart not that long ago. And through genetic engineering, they actually were able to develop a kind of a resistant papaya to this ring spot virus that existed there. And it actually helped to save the industry. So, I mean, that's the kind of potential that genetic engineering has. So.
Well, you know, and again, here's the thing. As I was saying at the top of this conversation, my good friend who is a farmer in southern Michigan is a crop farmer, not a livestock farmer, says his yields today, if there's a drought in Michigan today, that his yields will be many times what they were during ideal conditions in the 1980s. His yield will be dramatically higher today in a drought year than they would have been with ideal perfect conditions in 1980 or 1985. And yet people try to dismiss that. I might remind people that the folks that are behind things like Earth Day told us that, you know, people would be dying. 250 million people a year would be dying from famine, and there was no way we could feed ourselves. Well, actually, again, thank you to agricultural universities like Michigan State and others. Thank you to these universities because they have provided the basis for which not only can we create more food, we've created a surplus of food, and we can feed just about everybody. Now, our distribution systems may have some problems, but there is plenty of food to go around if we can get it to the people that need it because of GMOs and other scientifically based solutions.
Yeah, and the truth is we would want some of these other countries to be able to kind of start, obviously, feeding themselves and to be able to do so through genetic engineering. But the problem is some of these scare tactics are filtering around throughout the world. And it's, you know, it's blocking people from potentially getting food and being able to grow food on their own that can feed them in the future. I mean, we constantly hear people on the left constantly push towards this, that a lack of resources and the overpopulation. And it's kind of creepy, to be honest. And now we have an important solution to feeding the world as we go forward, and as population grows in the decades ahead. Yet we want to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot and not use this technology.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give people a couple of examples of things that are going. By the way, Canada has emerged as a leader worldwide in genetically modified foods. For example, Canada has come up with a non-browning apple. They turn the gene off that makes apples discolor when they're exposed to the air. Isn't that great? Massachusetts-based Aqua Bounty received approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration last fall for the world's first genetically modified fish. The salmon is a farm-raised Atlantic salmon imbued with growth hormone genes from a Chinook and an eel-like creature called an ocean pout. Change allows it to grow much more quickly, a potential boon for aquaculture. Now, we can debate whether aquaculture is good or bad, but you get the point that we can create more food, which is probably in the end, Darren, with a world with more than 7 billion occupants, probably a good idea. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I mean, there's also something called golden rice, which is there's a lack of vitamin D for a lot of people all over the world. And that leads to, for example, blindness and all kinds of problems. And what they've been able to do is to infuse some of this rice. This rice is a common staple throughout the world. They fuse the rice with vitamin D, and it helps to kind of solve some of those problems. But, again, there'll be obstacles for this.
Darren, thank you so much. I've got to run, my friend. I greatly appreciate it. Derek Baxt from the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Now, let's just take a moment and think about how much love there is in the world and just kind of hold each other for a moment. Can we just share some love here on the Steve Gruber Show?
God's great big family and the truth.